Gather round, take a seat, relax. It's the Verbringen with Rabbi Levi Avtzon, right here on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtzon of Linksfield Shul, and it's a pleasure and an honor to be able to be here with you once again on the Chai FM Verbringen show. Looking forward, hopefully we can have a meaningful conversation and would love your input. You can always reach out to Chai FM to share it. We're in the time of the Omer. Yesterday we celebrated the small mini chag, mini maybe in customs, but powerful in its messaging, major. And that was Pesach Sheni, the double Pesach, the second Pesach, the idea of second chances. And a few days is Lag BaOmer, which will get a break from the not listening to music, and there might be a wedding or two, and a time to celebrate and a time to uplift. And over the last few weeks, we've explored, it's probably one of the hardest things of the human condition, and that is getting along, which is unbearably difficult for many people. Some people somehow just have the personality and they get along and they have solid friendships and they have solid relationships. But a lot of people, the place of the deepest pain and the most chaos in their life is in the area of relationships. You know, many people will go through this world and go through challenges. Some of the challenges will be illness. Some of the challenges will be loss. Some of the challenges will be financial strain. But I would argue, you could take it or leave it, but my argument is that for most people, most of the pain in their life will come from relationships. The things that will cause them the deepest hurt will be how a person treated them, a family member, parent, a child, a friend, right? We're social beings. Hashem created us that way. In the words of Maimonides, in the words of the Rambam, Ha'adam hu medini. The human being is a political creature. The human being is a social creature. We very much feed off how we treat others, other people treat us, etc. So this area of relationship is by far the most impactful thing on our life. You know, we often think that the most impactful thing is how the politics of the country works. And obviously that has a huge impact. Or what goes on to our nation and what goes on to the, you know, our beautiful nation in our homeland, in the land of Israel. And all that stuff is extremely important. But the day-to-day, the real tests of our character is how we have relationships with the people around us. So often when we talk about big things like world peace and, you know, the end of the evil, those are big prayers. And please God, we should see that in our time very quickly. But we are taking something which is very personal and we're kind of projecting it on something much bigger, the world out there. But Hashem doesn't ask Levi to change the world. Hashem's asking me to change myself and refine my character and figure out a way to get along with that one person in my community who I struggle with, or that one family member that I struggle with. And instead of talking about big things like world peace and, you know, changing the world, which is obviously our aspiration, it starts with in ourselves, right? The great sages tell us that the big redemption, the geula, the redemption that we all pray for, the coming of Mashiach, starts when I figure out the Mashiach within me. When I bring geula into my own life, when I redeem myself, when I get out of my own exiles. Judaism very much believes in taking the macro problems and making them very much micro. Because we're all interconnected, if I go through a personal redemption, that could have an impact on the whole world. But instead of me trying to change everybody else and change the world, it's try to change my little environment, try to create a healthier dynamic. And I think if most people, if you'd have a conversation with them about, you know, what they want to do, everyone wants to make the world better. I've never met somebody, unless they're a psychopath or just have very, you know, very damaged, I've never met anyone who doesn't want to make the world better. But what about making your world better? There's a lot of good people out there with a lot of good visions for the world, but somehow their own lives are a mess. It's much easier to sit there asking, you know, two big countries to stop fighting with each other. It's true. We don't want Ukraine and Russia to fight. We want peace everywhere. We want all these lovely things. But how about stop fighting with your ex? And how about stop alienating that person in the community from coming to your simcha? And how about, if you're getting divorced, don't destroy the whole world in the process. Do it with dignity and grace, that one day your kids will be able to say, "Mother, that my parents, even though they couldn't get along, figured out a way to do it with dignity." In other words, I often find that we're talking about these big ideas. Shalom, peace, forgiveness, making the world a better place. Make your world a better place. Don't change the world, change your world. Rabbi, this world is such a dangerous place. yeah, the world's a messy place. But your life doesn't have to be as messy as it is. My life doesn't have to be as messy as it is if we choose to clean it up. Too many of us are avoiding our stuff and instead thinking about the big stuff, right? Everyone follows the news and wants to know what's going on in the world. The world is the world. But what about your world? What's the headlines on your own website? Not the website that you project on Instagram telling everybody about your life. What's the headlines in your life today? Is it peaceful, serene, focused, disciplined, balanced, spiritual, intentional? Or is it frenetic and chaotic and overwhelmed and immature? Our lives, that's all Hashem asks us. That's all God asks us. Get your life in order. Stop trying to change the world. Stop trying to even change the world of the person next to you. Try to change your own, right? If I can't make my own bed and yet I'm asking the whole world to be organized, if I can't figure out a way to get along with that annoying relative, why do I think Putin and Zelensky are going to get along? And why do I think China is going to stop threatening Taiwan? Oh, can we just get along? Yeah, can't we all get along? How about you get along? You can't figure out how to sit at the same Friday night table with that person who gets on your nerves. Not you. I'm saying us. We're all that. We're complicated. We're messy. But we're all talking about world peace, and we want to come to a better time. Create that better time. Clean up your house. Clean up your heart. Figure out a way to create peace, right? Right now, all the world powers, they're meeting with Iran, and they're trying to meet with Russia and Ukraine, and Hamas, and Israel, and all these things, and whatever your political positions, right? People are coming, there's big meetings, there's a lot going on in the news. It's mostly irrelevant. Not important. It's irrelevant to your life. What's relevant is your life. Your Russia, your Ukraine, your China, the issues in your heart, rather than just following these big political geopolitics, you know, players doing their thing. It's personal, right? How do we celebrate Pesach, Passover? By having our own Seder, by going on our own journey. The Jew always knew what's going on around the world, but that wasn't the main thing. The main thing was going on in their home, in their heart. So at this time of the year, when we're all focused on getting along, let's stop projecting our own inadequacies onto the world stage. Hashem's not asking me to make peace between Russia and Ukraine. He's asking me to make peace between me and my brother, between me and my parents, between me and my spouse. And that is more than enough. This is 101.9 Chai FM, and the song you're going to hear now on a cappella is Take Me Home by Joey Newcomb.
This is the Fabringen with Rabbi Levi Avtson on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtson of Linksfield Shul. I want to talk to you about gossip. Oh, nothing more enjoyable. Gossip. Even the word sounds juicy, doesn't it? It's like the pop of a soda can or the satisfying crunch of a chip. It's a national pastime, the social glue, the whispered thread that binds hair salons, staff rooms, family dinners, and yes, even shul lobbies. But let's be honest. Some of us are still finding a twinge of guilt. A pesky little voice whispering, isn't it wrong? To which we can confidently reply, not at all. In fact, here are four completely logical, highly moral, and not sarcastic reasons why gossip is basically a civic and spiritual duty. Are you ready? Let's talk about gossip. Four reasons why you should gossip. Number one. The media said so, and they never lie. See, our society has always been led by the noble crusaders of truth. Tabloids, influencers, and YouTube conspiracy channels with 17-minute monologues and ominous background music. If they're obsessed with somebody's personal life, then clearly so should you. You see, the media doesn't report, they inspire. They've taught us that privacy is just a suggestion. That when your colleague goes mysteriously quiet after lunch, it becomes your constitutional obligation to investigate. Freedom of speech wasn't created to protect big ideas. It was created so you could ask five different people if the Goldbergsteins really broke up, and if so, who got the dog? Your neighbor's meltdown? Oh, that's public domain. Your cousin's dating disaster? Oh, that's a case study. And your boss's awkward 2009 photo? That's archival research. So, the first reason to gossip is if there was an 11th commandment, it would say, thou shall not be left out of the juice. The media says to gossip, and therefore so should you. That's reason number one. Reason number two why you should gossip is because you are God's vigilante of truth. It's not gossip. It's justice. You're not talking about people. You're protecting society from false impressions. If someone appears successful, admirable, or even just decent, it's your sacred responsibility to balance the scales by pointing out that they are also very much human. Remember, God can't tolerate falsehood. And since you are made in his image, and maybe you watched a few too many true crime shows, you've naturally appointed yourself as a moral detective. Your mission is to ensure that nobody gets more honor than they deserve. If Hannah got promoted, it's your duty to mention that she once borrowed your jumper and never returned it. Balance must be maintained in the universe. So the second reason you should gossip is you're not a gossiper. You're a humble servant of the divine truth with a strong memory and an even stronger Wi-Fi connection. Next. Third reason why you should gossip is it's tradition. See, gossip is as timeless as bull tongue, jerseys, and awkward uncle jokes at family weddings. Since ancient times, it has played a vital role in family bonding. Entire generations have communicated exclusively through passive-aggressive dinner murmurs and strategically raised eyebrows. Why break the chain? Your grand did it. Your mom did it. You're just honoring your ancestors by being a gossiper. I mean, what else are you supposed to talk about through a four-hour Friday night dinner? Feelings? Oh, and don't get started on community gossip. It's basically how communities are supposed to run. A shul bracha tasted nice? Not a worthy story. But say the one cake didn't taste exactly as you expected it to. Now that is worth discussing. After all, the shul owes you a lunch every Shabbos as per your taste preference and for free. So the third reason you should gossip is it's tradition, and tradition is sacred. You should know exactly why Jaime arrived at the shul 3 minutes late and why the rabbi is driving a car that doesn't break down every time they're driving uphill. I mean, you're a paying member of the shul. Of course you need to know. And finally, the most important reason why you should gossip. Because why work on yourself when you can work on others? Let's face it, working on ourselves is hard. Self-reflection is uncomfortable. Growth is slow. But you know what's easy? Looking around and finding someone a little more dysfunctional than you. So let's share a story. Rabbi Shmuel of Lubavitch lived about 150 years ago, once saw his young sons, Zalman and Shalom, fighting in the yard. Upon investigation, he discovered that Zalman had pushed his younger son, his younger brother, into a ditch. "What's the meaning of this?" he asked. And Zalman replied, "It's not fair, Dad. I'm the older brother, but Shalom is taller than me. So I pushed him down, and now I'm taller." Rabbi Shmuel said, "My son, if you wish to be taller than your brother, climb onto a chair. Don't push him down." Let's read that again. If you wish to be taller than your brother, climb onto a chair. Don't push him down. That's gossip. It's our way of digging ditches around other people to make ourselves feel taller. Why examine your own flaws when you could broadcast someone else's? So the main reason why we gossip is, who needs self-development when pointing of fingers is quicker, more entertaining, and tastes as sweet as peppermint crisp? Now, if you've been listening till now, you obviously realize, I hope, that this was all satire. Maybe you recognized a friend. Maybe you recognized yourself. But here's the uncomfortable truth. We often laugh about things that are far too painful to look at directly. Gossip feels harmless. It can even feel fun. But it's rarely innocent. It weakens relationships. It erodes trust. It gives us the illusion of moral superiority while quietly lowering the entire ceiling of decency around us. There's a reason that Jewish law treats Lashon Hara, harmful speech, with such weight. It's not because we're obsessed with rules. It's because words build and words destroy. And when used carelessly, they can strip someone's dignity long before they get the chance to defend themselves. And the scariest part? Most of the time, we don't even realize we're doing it. We share a concern under the guise of caring. We repeat a funny story, but with a name attached. We analyze someone's choices, not because we're affected, but because it gives us a tiny shot of self-esteem. But you know it as good as I. That boost, it's fleeting. And what's left afterwards is rarely worth it. Because here's something we forget. Even the people who enjoy hearing your gossip are quietly losing respect for you. Why? Because they know. If you can speak that way about someone else, you could easily speak that way about them. In one moment of juicy sharing, you've confirmed you cannot be trusted, at least not entirely. So, what if we chose silence that protects instead of speech that wounds? What if we worked on becoming people that others can trust rather than fear? What if we climbed the chair instead of digging a pit? It's harder. It's slower. But it's higher. We spoke before the song about not focusing our energies on world peace and trying to solve all the big things until we can at least solve our own stuff. We can't cry about wars happening overseas when I can't figure out how to stop the war that's happening in my house. From screaming at my kids or my spouse or myself, and cannot control my anger, and cannot channel my energy directly, what do I think is going to happen to that soldier in war who's been trained to kill? Do I think they'll be decent and honorable? We often expect a perfection out there that we don't expect of ourselves. And I don't think we should expect perfection, but we can expect better. Honestly, as a rabbi, often I hear people's stories. And one of the stories that I can never get used to because it just breaks my heart is how dark people go when they're angry. When they're getting divorced, suddenly they feel justified to just destroy everything around them because I need justice. If they decide to cut off a family member, they do it with such viciousness because of justice. I hate that word, justice, in this context. Obviously, I love justice. But when justice comes to replace character development, and when I'm hiding behind that word of saying what's right, instead of saying what's kind, what's wise, what's good, right? We're aware that these days there's a lot of lawfare, where basically you could use the law to do anything, right? If I decide to come up with an accusation against you, I could just schlep you through court, make you go bankrupt, just trying to defend yourself on something you never did. So justice is important. But you also have to love peace. And you also have to love the idea of being a better version of ourselves. Here's a rule of thumb. If you're fighting with more than two people in your life right now, you're the common denominator. Because here's the two options. Either you're the one fighting, or you have a lot of bad luck, bad mazel, in choosing what relationships you get into. And then it destroys, which means, again, the common denominator is you. So either you're the problem or the fool, but not a scenario. The only person to look at is you. In other words, you have a fight with one person, I get that. Possible there's one very difficult person that's unplayable in your life. Even two people. It's not ideal, but I could accept it. But when the same person's not talking to their sibling and breaking up their marriage and they're constantly in tension with their kid and they lost a friend last week. Don't know how to say this, my friend. There's some work to do. Not to create world peace, but peace in that beautiful heart of yours so that you can heal your world, which ultimately heals the world for all of us. This is 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Afton of the show. And here we are on the Chai FM Farbringen every Tuesday from 1 to 2. And this song, Kumsitz on the Rain from Danny Gross on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the Farbringen with Rabbi Levi Afton on 101.9 Chai FM.
Last week's Torah portion, we spoke about Ve'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, love your your neighbor or your friend as yourself. We all know that statement. But those three Hebrew words have a lot to unpack. Because in order to love your friend or your neighbor, you have to love yourself. Kamocha. If I have to love you the way I love myself, I have to love myself. You see, we talk a lot about peace. World peace, community peace, family peace, even WhatsApp group peace, which is honestly the most fragile kind of all. But here's the uncomfortable truth I've had to admit lately. I can't make peace with anyone if I haven't made peace with myself, which is awkward because, like most people, I'm not exactly a calm, self-affirming inner oasis. If anything, my eternal life looks something like a low-budget reality show called Judgment Island, starring me, critiquing me with reruns of every awkward thing I've ever said, done, or forgotten to do. Special thanks to the memory of that time, I confidently called somebody by the wrong name for 3 years. But seriously, many of us walk around with an inner dialogue that's more hostile than helpful. We mistake constant self-criticism for humility. We think if we let up, even a little, we'll become smug or lazy. So we double down. We micromanage our own shortcomings. We call it self-awareness. But often it just becomes self-loathing with a spiritual ringtone. And then we wonder why it's hard to be at peace with others. Because here's the thing. People who are at war with themselves are not good at laying down the arms with anyone else. If I view myself as lovable, unlovable, unless I'm flawless, guess what? That's exactly how I'll treat you. My expectations of you will be rigid, anxious, and full of unspoken disappointment, because I'll be loving you from a place of depletion, not fullness, and I could only love you as much as I love myself. And that's why Judaism is so counterintuitive. It doesn't say fix yourself, then you're worthy of love. It says you are worthy of love, now go fix yourself. Real peace, whether with your spouse, your child, your colleague, or Hashem, your creator, begins with an inner shift, a different kind of relationship with oneself, one that isn't sentimental or indulgent, but honest and dignified. We don't need to lie to ourselves about our flaws, and you don't have to stand in front of the mirror saying, I'm amazing, I'm amazing, I'm amazing. That doesn't bring peace, that brings denial. But we need to stop thinking that shame is the path to virtue. It isn't. It's the path to paralysis. We don't shame ourselves into greatness, we just end up stuck. Because when you view yourself as fundamentally broken, then what's the point of trying to grow? You're just trying to survive your own judgment. But what if peace looked like acknowledging your own faults and your strengths? Starting from a place of belief instead of despair, what if you could say, yes, I have things to work on, but I also have things to build from? Because love grows when we focus on the good, and that includes the way we love ourselves. Think about how you deepen your love for someone else, your child, your spouse, your friend. You don't do it by obsessing over their flaws. Love doesn't grow under a microscope. It grows in the warmth of attention. You notice their loyalty, their generosity, their weird quirks. And the more you notice, the more your heart opens. Even in davening and prayer, we see this. We don't start by listing everything that's wrong. We begin by praise, focusing on Hashem's greatness, His compassion, His kindness. Not to flatter God, but to wake up our own hearts, to reconnect with love, because this is how love works. If I focus on the strengths and the blessings, then I love. Love is born from what we choose to see. So why should it be different with ourselves? That doesn't mean ignoring your issues, heaven forbid. But growth has to be fueled by something. And that something is belief, compassion, clarity, peace. So here's a simple suggestion. Think of one strength you possess. Just one. Not the most impressive thing on your resume, just something real. Maybe it's your ability to bounce back, or your instinct to show up for others, or the fact that you're still trying, even after all the times you've fallen short. That's not ego. It's groundwork. Because the more you relate to yourself with compassion, the more compassion you have to offer people around you. Because whole people, wholehearted people, don't need to win every argument. They don't project their self-doubt onto others. They're less reactive, more forgiving, kinder, because they can afford to be. And that's why peace within oneself leads to peace with others. Again, we're not flawless. But ve'ahavta l'recha kamocha, love yourself and love others. Give yourself the grace you give to others. Give others the grace you give to yourself. Make peace with yourself, instead of becoming better, in order to become better. That's how you create peace with others. In other words, one of the truest statements out there is hurt people hurt people. Most of the people that cause a lot of pain to others are very damaged within. And that's why there is no way to world peace without people working on their character. I can heal others if I heal myself. I can heal my relationships if I heal myself. Healing doesn't only necessarily mean through therapy. It's the idea of character development. Tikkun amidas, overcoming myself. Controlling my impulses. Nourishing my strengths. Doing something that makes me a better version of myself. If I'm just as defensive and petty as I was 6 months ago, a year ago, where's the growth? Where's the growth? Instead of spending so much time getting frustrated about the imperfections of this world and how dysfunctional the government is, how dysfunctional are you? How dysfunctional am I? Oh, the government is dysfunctional and it's corrupt. How's your heart? I'm not saying we shouldn't be political and we shouldn't try to better the society. Of course we should. But we spend disproportionate amount of time talking about things that fundamentally are outside our realm. Yes, we could vote, we could go to demonstrations, but 99% of our life is the life we're living in our four walls. How's the corruption there? Instead of talking about the infighting between this minister and that minister, what about the infighting between you and your kid? And why are you and your spouse throwing pots and pans at each other every night and saying the meanest things? It's us. One day after 120, we show up and God doesn't ask me why I didn't change the world. He says, why didn't you make your world better? That's all Hashem wants of us. Make our world better. Imagine if each one of us just tried to make our lives better. The world would change for the better. Wishing you a beautiful week. Thank you for listening. And please, God, just forgive one person. Make peace with one person. And maybe that person should start by being yourself. 101.9 High FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtson. Have a great week.